Food is the language everyone speaks, but do we truly understand it?
Between the conversations over organic food and GMOs, different diets taking the world by storm, and how what we eat actually impacts our environment,
there's no shortage of things to learn about. Hi, I'm Karel Vega.
And I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum, and this is Serving Up Science.
Here on the program, we talk about the science behind foods and sometimes the history too. But to even be able to enjoy food, there is one indispensable part of your body, and that part is your teeth.
So today, we're speaking with Dr. Jason Mashney. He's a dentist based in East Lansing, full disclosure. He's my dentist, and he's here to answer all of our questions related to teeth. Dr. Mashney, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
We hear about what to eat all the time on TV, online, and maybe a couple times a year at the dentist's office, usually when our mouth is open and it's hard to ask questions. So we have you here today. Tell us what we should be eating for good oral health.
There's general principles to avoid and prevent dental disease. Things that we can touch on are things like creating a good environment for your teeth, things like the acidity of products that we don't always think about, the sugar in certain products. The makeup of what we're drinking is very important that we don't always think about. And there are certain foods that are better as snacking foods or other things like that. Generally, things that are lower in sugar, even higher in protein, are better snacks, things like cheeses or even meats, that can really reduce the risk of having some issues.
And you mentioned acidity. So do different people have different natural pH in their mouth? And does that affect our oral health?
Yes, I'm glad you asked. So the environment of your mouth is really what controls, you know, our dental disease. So getting a cavity or decay is caused by a bacterial infection, and that bacteria grows in a certain environment. Bad bacteria grow in an acidic environment. There is good bacteria in your mouth, just like in our bodies. So we feed them by what we eat, along with intrinsic things. So things like having poor saliva, people with dry mouth, or people with diabetes, definitely hurts our, lowers our chance of having a healthy mouth.
What's the biggest issue or threat you're seeing with your patients these days?
Dental decay, periodontal disease, and really just understanding how that plays a role in overall health. Dental decay, that's really the most common thing that people somewhat understand, but it's the number one disease in children. And if we're doing our job, we should see those things go down. The number of decay in our practice, or all practices, go down. We have fluoridation, we have trying to educate people, but for the most part, dentists are not going out of business. So prevention, giving this understanding to our patients, is very important, where we don't learn a lot of these things in dental school. We only have a certain amount of time. We learn how to not harm patients, but we don't learn some of the intricacies in prevention, what foods are better or worse. So educating patients is very important.
You mentioned fluoride, and that's something that I'm curious about because I grew up in New York. Everyone got fluoride on their teeth, and the water, of course, had fluoride as well. I moved to Michigan from California, where the dentist didn't use fluoride, and there was a lot of concern about the fluoride that was added to water. So I was wondering if you could talk a bit about that. Now living in Michigan, I'm back closer to New York, closer to those practices. But can you tell our listeners a little bit about why fluoride is good for our teeth?
I would love to. I love talking about this because there is some controversy about it. But ultimately, we do have good research supporting our beliefs. Fluoride is one avenue to reduce dental decay. It's not the only avenue. We talked about acidity. Your tooth structure is made up of building blocks. And in a certain acidity, the real number is 5.5, those building blocks get taken away. A cavity starts, okay? So every time you drink a sip of your Coca-Cola or other things, that is taking away parts of your tooth. What fluoride does is it reinforces those building blocks. So that number, the critical pH of 5.5, can be raised to 6 or higher with our fluoride. So applications, we usually talk about three avenues to do that. Okay, your daily fluoride through water, your daily fluoride through your toothpaste, and then usually for at least kids or high-risk patients, we have a fluoride varnish or fluoride application, those things you remember growing up, in the office. But like I said, there are other things besides fluoride.
You're making me feel bad for drinking a Diet Coke every day.
We're speaking with Dr. Jason Mashney. He's a dentist based in East Lansing who's here today to answer all of our teeth-related questions. Dr. Mashney, how dangerous is bad oral health to your body as a whole?
We have very strong evidence that there's strong correlations with a lot of other diseases. So first thing we talk about is inflammation. So inflammation is our body's response to disease. So inflammatory diseases include things like diabetes, things like heart disease, strokes. For men, things like erectile dysfunction. There's correlations between how much inflammation in our mouths. That's things like bleeding gums. When you brush your teeth, when you floss your teeth, do your gums bleed? And how well we can control our blood sugar levels. So we have evidence that if we control the inflammation in our mouth, things like our hemoglobin A1C levels actually get reduced. And vice versa, if we're able to control our diabetes better, we have less periodontal disease. If we are able to control periodontal disease, we have less risk for stroke, heart attack. One thing that we can have a whole show about is even for pregnant women, preterm labor, low birth weight kids. If you are pregnant or thinking to be pregnant, just like you take your vitamins, you should see a dentist and make sure you don't have inflammation in your mouth.
One thing I'm curious about is we know smoking cigarettes is bad for your dental health, but I don't think many know the effects of vaping. What are the effects of vaping on your teeth?
Great question. We are just getting some research on that. So for the longest time, I would have to tell people, from what I understand, I would not do it, but we don't have good information on it. But now we're learning that it is of similar outcome. Things like healing of your tissue, progression of gum disease. Vaping has a similar effect, even though it doesn't have the same chemicals or additions as cigarettes and some other things. But as far as the healing of the tissue, progression of gum disease, we are just learning about it, but our stance is that it is detrimental. If you're using it as a way to get off cigarettes or other things, I think that's an acceptable way to do it. But just it becoming more of a thing and kids now doing it as a replacement just for cigarettes, we would strongly caution against that.
We previously did an episode on sugar and talked a little bit about how sugar can be bad for your heart, potentially can lead to cancer. I'm curious about sugar and how it works on teeth. And also, you know, we think about added sugars to foods, but my kids love fruit leather, and we've been told by their dentist that that's not necessarily a good thing. And here I thought I was getting them to finally eat some more fruits. So can you tell us a little bit about sugar, both natural and then added as well?
Yes, I'd love to. So sugar is one of the things that I said can be detrimental to your teeth. We talked about a bacterial infection, and sugar is one of those things that the bad bacteria basically feed off of more. Sugar industry, you guys talked about it before, but more processing of sugar really exploded even 200 years ago. And then getting away from higher fat things, more added sugars started in the 60s. So when we look at our food labels, we're seeing much more sugar. The bacteria, they process it, they grow, and the bacteria that grows produces acid, which cause cavities. Sugar is different. There's other sweeteners out there too. Okay, so the one that dentists should be talking about to you is different sugars that don't have as much risk, okay? And there's other things even for diabetics. So things like stevia leaf does not raise your blood sugar levels as much. In dentistry, we talk more about xylitol, which is another natural sugar that you can get at your Meijer food stores, things like that. And we actually have research that says if you get 5 exposures to that, it lowers your risk of decay. And once again, not all sugars are the same. So sugar from an apple or fruit is different than sugar from our fruit snacks or sticky sugars, which are more likely to have some issues with dental decay. So we talked about Coca-Cola and that as an example of what can take minerals from your teeth. And I don't want to just, you know, harp on Coca-Cola, because there's other things that many people don't realize are acidified. So all of our canned foods have to be acidified for shelf-life purposes. So every canned food that you get, including baby food, is in the range of 4.5. The strange thing that most people don't know is bottled water. When we go to the store and buy bottled water, we have to think about what we're buying. So that bottled water usually is not fluoridated, and some of them are made by soda companies, Dasani, aka Coca-Cola again. That water is in the range of 4.5 again. Coca-Cola is in the range of 3, but if we are, you know, having dry mouth or we're giving our kids just bottled water, that can even be an issue.
You're listening to Serving Up Science. We're speaking with Dr. Jason Mashney. He's a dentist based in East Lansing, answering all of our teeth-related questions.
Well, Dr. Mashney, what do you think are some of the worst foods? And I'm also specifically curious about popcorn, because I feel like it's kind of a healthy snack, but then it's also always getting stuck in my teeth.
I love popcorn. We'll start with that. Some of the worst foods are, when I think of things that I see in my practice, liquids are the main cause. So detrimental liquids are those in with higher acid and can dissolve your enamel worse. The worst thing I see, sorry to harp on energy drinks, but these Monsters or Red Bull doesn't give you wings, it gives you cavities. Mountain Dew diet. Sorry, guys. I have a whole list of, you know, these liquids and how much damage they do to your teeth.
What about LaCroix?
It's much better. A lot of these more detrimental liquids, sodas, pops, have phosphoric acid in them versus a LaCroix, or there's some other ones out there. They have a carbonic acid. So even though we might look at the pH being the same, the amount of enamel that it dissolves, your tooth structure, can vary a lot. So a Mountain Dew, actually the worst thing out there is Diet Mountain Dew. If we look at a scale, it's on like a 14. Coca-Cola is actually only a 3 or 4. Root beer, if you really need your carbonated beverage, actually root beer is the best pop as far as enamel dissolving. Not saying it's good as far as sugars in your body, but as far as enamel.
Well, and any cola that's kind of glowing in the dark is a little bit questionable in my book.
And then as far as foods, really sticking away from sticky sugars are a big thing. And one thing we always talk to our patients, every new patient, is the amount of exposures to acids or sugars. So have your treat, have your, you know, ice cream. We can have it in moderation. But what we want to do is not sip on drinks. So if we have a Coke, have that with your lunchtime, with your dinner time. If we're having our sweets or a fruit snack that we give to our kids as a treat, it's better that we pair it with a meal. Our saliva fights off some of those acids and sugars. If we have healthy saliva, the environment of our mouth can get back to normal within 30 minutes. If you think about sipping on something every 10 minutes, 15 minutes while you're studying for students or working, we can see how that acid is going to cause problems with our teeth.
So Dr. Mashney, as someone who's fairly cavity prone, I have a lot of fillings. How long should I expect those fillings to last? And what happens when they run out of time, if you will?
Great question. We get this question a lot. You know, how long you're doing this filling for me, how long is it going to last, this crown? Generally, our answer has to be everything man-made will break down, will fail. But the environment you put it in determines how long it lasts. Doing a filling does not prevent you from getting another cavity. A cavity is the outcome of a dental disease, that bacterial infection. If we just do a cavity, just do a filling, and don't treat the dental infection, cavities will come back, and they can come back within a year. If we do the filling and treat the bacterial infection, that filling can theoretically last a lifetime. And when you talk about needing fillings, needing cavities, it's not strange. The majority of adults, and we talked about kids being a very common disease, have fillings, have cavities. We know our patients, generally, there's 40% that we would classify as high-risk patients. We know that in that high-risk category, every year, 60% of those get a new cavity. So if we think about that in that high-risk category, we are getting new cavities every year, and that can be under an old filling, an old crown.
If you had to give people one health tip to preserve their teeth, what would it be?
Control the environment of your mouth. The mouth can be a gateway for your overall health. We mentioned in the start, that's where digestion starts. You know, you have enzymes that start breaking down things there. So controlling the environment of your mouth, and of course there's a lot of things into that, is the most important. Now my dad used to say, you don't have to floss all your teeth, just the ones you want to keep. There's some truth to that, but we also know there's extrinsic things. It's not just how you're brushing or flossing that determines your risk of decay.
We've been speaking with Dr. Jason Mashney. He's a dentist who practices in East Lansing. Doctor, thank you so much for joining us today.
You've been listening to Serving Up Science, the show all about food, where it comes from, and how it impacts our health and our planet.
This program is produced at Michigan State University in association with Food at MSU.
I'm Cheryl Kirschenbaum.
And I'm Karel Vega, and this is WKAR.